This is CliffCentral.com.
Rihanna. Ah. Isn't she hot? She's
always
wearing this little top in that music video. This little, you could see her nips and everything.
Mm-hmm. Just the way she likes
You're right, Mabali. Always.
Rihanna has always looked hot to me.
Yeah, she's never looked bad.
Always.
She's never looked bad. Sia said that he met some girl who was wearing like a sheer top over the weekend, and he instantly turned into his mother and started saying to her, "Aren't you cold?"
I mean, girl, I get looking hot to trot on any other day, but it's winter, and then, like, already, I don't know how you even pay full price for a number like that. It's a little sheer thing, but then it's a crop top, so her belly's out, and then she wasn't wearing a bra, so her nipples were out. I just wanted to give her my jacket and tell her to go back home.
That's very judgmental, Sia.
Judgmental. I just felt bad for her.
Very judgmental.
Aye, aye, aye.
So I've finished my breakfast for the morning, which Gord Laws seems to think is outrageous.
Yeah. I didn't think it was outrageous. I was very curious about it.
It is strange.
I found it highly unusual.
We're all raising an eyebrow to this.
Okay, so you are eating an apple.
Not sliced, just any apple.
Right? Sliced green apple.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a little accessory to go with it, is what I'm going to call it.
Now you make it sound very creepy. It's just salt.
It's not just salt. So you slice up your apple.
Yeah.
And then
meticulously.
You sprinkle salt on a plate, and then you pick up an apple wedge and you rub it through the salt.
Yes. I dip it in the salt.
Why?
Man, that's fantastic.
It's just different. It's very confusing to me. It makes me question everything that I thought was sacred about society.
So, first of all, I like sour food. There's something, it's the acidity that I'm obviously craving.
I find that hard to believe about you guys.
I'm such an alkaline kind of guy, you know? And the salt I have slightly low blood pressure, but it's not like I'm doing this for medical reasons. Obviously, my body just craves the salt because then it pushes the blood pressure up.
Yeah, I was talking about having an affinity for apples and being a bit of an apple connoisseur myself. And I
listen to this. Gord knows the name. He knows the names of all the different kinds of apples. I mean, I just buy a packet of green or a packet of red. I call them what my buddy does, a color.
No, red ones are generally flowery for me, and they lack flavor.
They look great.
My favorites are Pink Lady apples, which are tart but not as tart as that, and have a sort of a base sweetness that you lack in a green apple. Then you get apples called Mount Fuji.
This is like a wine connoisseur.
I
got notes of wood and...
Gareth,
cold.
I hereby officially invite you. I will host you at an apple tasting.
Oh, what? No, please.
I'll host you at an apple tasting.
That's not a thing.
All right.
It's a thing now.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
Okay,
if we're going to be picky about grapes, well, why not be picky about apples?
So Mount Fuji, a Pink Lady, and a Yellow Quite Nice are my favorite apples.
A Yellow Quite Nice.
Well, because Golden Delicious oversells it. They're not golden, and they're hardly delicious. Wow. They're yellow, and they're quite nice. But I don't like a green one, and then you're putting salt on it, and my whole paradigm has just like been completely knocked off kilter. I'm going to try it, though.
It's supposed to be quite healthy. I mean, they say apple a day, right?
Yeah, that's what they say.
And at least I know there's probably quite a lot of sugar in an apple. Who knows?
Yeah, there is actually, especially these genetically engineered cool ones that I've just mentioned.
Yeah, I was just talking to someone yesterday about how sugar is actually food for cancer. If someone has cancer and they eat a lot of sugar, the cancer spreads a lot faster. It's pretty much been proven by all of the various institutions that have been researching this stuff for the last 20 years. So if you eat a lot of sugar... and you have cancer, the cancer will... you're making it much, much easier for it to spread and metastasize.
That's hectic.
You know what? As long as they don't change their story, they tune their minds about sugar years from now. Do you remember how fat used to be the devil?
Yeah.
Fat was evil for you. It was a no-go area. We were encouraged to do either fat-free or low-fat. And then all of a sudden, they decided to change their minds, and they're like, oh, no, actually, we had it all wrong. Sorry.
And like margarine was the healthy alternative to butter when it was introduced. Like, no, be healthy, have margarine. And now margarine is like the worst.
No, margarine and butter, I still don't know what's the outcome, because it changes.
What's the difference, where we're at?
They swap it every 5 years. Butter's the evil one, then margarine's the evil one, then the other way around.
See, that's what I'm saying with the sugar thing. Like, sugar... recently became the evil one. Wasn't always. And now, like, they mustn't change their minds years from now and say,
look, oh, I don't think sugar's good.
Yeah,
We like the taste of it, we crave it, but I don't think it really does us any good.
I don't think
it goes
ever
into the body and makes it better.
Exactly. I don't think it's ever had a reputation for being a thing that, like, no, look, you need to increase your sugar intake, especially the processed sugar.
No
you
doctor need it. Ever has said that to a patient.
And my understanding, I mean, look, I'm a fat bastard. I struggle with my weight, but sugar's not the issue.
I'm sorry.
Sugar's not the issue. Like, one thing I don't have is like a particularly predominant sweet tooth. I avoid sugar a lot. You throw me in front of a truckload of carbohydrates, and that truck's petrol consumption will go down after I've visited. But sugar's not the jam. And my that was unintentional. But no, really, it was. But yeah. But my understanding is that the more processed it is, the more harm it does. So, for example, your body needs to do a bit of work on that apple. Plus, you got a organic strain of apple that's not terribly genetically engineered to have a higher sugar content, so your body will need to break down the fiber in that in order to access the sugar, and you kind of come out more or less even.
Equal,
and you get
yeah.
all the good vitamins and apple lipids and vitamin
right, right,
D and
right.
everything. So your body needs, the more processed, the less good it is. You know, like, there are natural sugars, and yes, they're sugars. If you eat enough of them, they'll make you fat in the ass, but they're better, much better than, don't drink your fruit, eat it, basically.
Don't drink, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the biggest scam ever. Fruit juice, what?
Yeah. I mean, fruit juice, you might as well be drinking something that out of the Coke or Pepsi.
No,
fridge.
That stuff is terrible for us. Mm. Terrible.
And they add so much crap to it, right?
Yeah.
I will say, though, that again, apple juice, if it's 100% apple juice, it's very good for you.
Bloody delicious as well.
And runs through you and turns your asshole into a sieve.
No.
I told you this one friend of mine who used to be, he took part in the Olympics and a bunch of other, he said, if you want to lose a lot of weight in a hurry, it's not the healthiest thing to do to your poor body who's not expecting it. But if you take 5 liters of that goddamned apple juice in a day,
the other
it'll
fruit juices
open you up
will,
like sluices.
Isn't it prune juice that's famous for
prune
that?
Juice.
Prune juice, yeah.
The prune juice, it will be like when the Vaal Dam opens up after a heavy rain season and lets out that right in the front there.
I have never been able to look at prunes the same way.
Prunes are prunes are so dangerous. What is it? It's a plum, right? That they then...
They're raising a plum, yeah. They're raising a fire plum. Same process.
Yeah.
My sister, when she was pregnant, used to go through so many of those things.
Prunes?
Yes. I don't know, because her digestive system just wasn't on her side during her pregnancy. So she would buy packets of them, just sit on the couch. We're like, oh, we know what's coming after this. Like, evacuate.
Does anybody really like dried fruit? Because I do. I love dried fruit.
Mango,
like,
dude. Dried mango is a jewel. But it's also covered in sugar. It's like they dip it in sugar and then dry it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say.
Do they? Doesn't it? I thought it was naturally sweet.
No.
Oh, guys.
No. Everything's
you're
a lie.
You're ruining everything for me now.
Everything's a lie.
See, you're not exactly on like borderline obesity, so you're fine.
I'm not worried about like gain weight, of course.
I've got legs
that
weigh more
than
zero.
It's just like a heart disease. Sorry,
I've got legs that weigh more than you. Sorry to interrupt.
But one should always, you know, take care of their hearts, and so that's it. Yeah, dried fruit though has never been my thing. It's just like too sweet, and then it gets into your nooks and crannies in your mouth. No, not into it.
You want the apricot, sour as all hell.
Do you remember guava rolls in school?
Oh, yes!
That was like a staple diet for every kid at school, to have a guava roll.
Yes. Yes.
Those are good.
Meant something completely different in high school, but in primary school, a guava roll was a good
innocence of it all.
All right, we've got a couple of interesting things happening this morning. Sia's going to give us a look at what's going to go down, who's coming in to visit us today, and we'll get into some news after that. Sia, do you want to give us a bit of a window into the next hour or two?
Yeah, boy.
All right, here he is, the producer of the show, Sia Sangweni. Take it away.
Well, we're kicking off our Monday with an extra exciting guest. I feel like this is always the case. But this morning we have actress, television and radio personality Vatiso Ndara coming in to chat to us. She's done everything under the sun practically. She's worked with the likes of at Highfelt, at 5FM, at Kai FM, at Metro FM. And she's now currently getting amazing reviews for her performances in Zanzi Magic's Igazi and It's Complicated. So she's here to chat and have a good time with us. So that's awesome.
Sorry, let me just set the record straight so that we don't hurt or embarrass ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Ndara.
Ndaga.
Ndaga.
Thank you. Yeah. There we go. This is why we have Mabali Maloy
for same the
page. Class factor.
I just want to point out the whites were not involved in that.
it makes it sadder on my front. Vatiswa Ndaga. There we go.
Very good.
And then coming up on Cliff Central for Monday, we have Belighted, Auto Central, the Threaded Exchange at 11, Leadership Platform at 12, Youth Leadership Platform at 2, and Just Because We're So Nice, we play twice, The Gareth Cliff Show at 3, and a new edition of The Maid Sessions at 6 p.m. Shushans. The Maid Sessions. There we go.
All right. A couple of things that have just come in here. Apple juice, says Carl. Even 100% apple juice is not good for you. Think about trying to eat 8 apples in the amount of time you can drink a glass of apple juice. That cannot be good for you, Carl. Joe.
Yeah. Oof.
All right, good point. Well put. Watch the new documentary, What the Health? Extremely interesting about the food we eat today and how it's affecting the diseases that we're dying from, etc. And Michelle says the best way to eat apples is apple juice. So different opinions. Thank you for correcting that, Mabali, says somebody, making sure we get the pronunciation right. Ndaga is the surname of our guest, Fatiswa, later on, who's going to come and spend some time with us. Anushka says, I love my fruit juice, people. I juice oranges, apples, and pineapples with ginger every morning, and I'm good, thank you. How can you, how dare you say that fruit juice is evil?
It is.
So all of that, who was it? There's nothing but fruit and liquid. Yeah, that is a lie. There's this whole campaign. Yeah, nothing at all but fruit.
Yeah.
And tons of sugar and tons of everything else.
All right, let's get into some news today. There's lots going on. Maybe you didn't pay attention to anything over the weekend. Don't feel bad. That's what my buddy comes in to help you with every Monday morning. What do we have?
Okay, so our sports minister is back. Remember, we had the acting sports minister.
You mean police?
Police, my bad.
Sport, police, potato, potato.
Sorry, yeah. Police minister
swap
is back.
Portfolios, yeah.
Because remember, we had the acting minister situation last week for several days. But now, Minister Fikile Mbalula is back. And, you know, he says that he's going to be focusing his attention on security at O.R. Tambo International Airport.
Please do. I've heard horror stories.
Oh, man. Remember that carte blanche expose that they did? Where they basically discovered that there is a syndicate that's running at the airport where people basically are on the lookout for anybody who either comes off of international flights or somebody who looks like they could have money. They kind of suss you out and then they alert people who are ready to rob you and then they split whatever money that they, you know, they manage to take off of you. Mm. And it really could be anyone. It could be like, you know, the guy posing as a taxi driver. It could be one of the security guys at the airport. So, and it's a massive, massive problem. So, yes, Fikile Mbalula is set to visit O.R. Tambo International Airport today. He says that he's going to be meeting with SAPS management. He's going to be meeting with Home Affairs, State Security, as well as Metro Police at the airport to get an appreciation of the safety and security challenges at the airport. Hmm. There is also the issue of...
What did Batabile do as minister during the time she was minister? Where was she drinking?
Oh, Gosiam.
Okay.
At which pub was she acting minister of police? She looks like she could be fun to party with. Or a horrible drunk. Like the kind that someone has to take out of there at 2 a.m.
You should set it up, dude. You've got connections. Let's drink with ministers. Let's make that a thing like Jerry Seinfeld in cars.
Comedians with cars.
Drinking with ministers. It would be great.
I feel like she is that aunt at the family function who, I feel bad, but after a few drinks, will just tell everyone the truth.
And then everyone hates her.
Just like, we're not Sally. In any case, you aren't a real member of this family. And it's like, what? Like, Sally? Like,
your father was not who you think.
Just pointing it out. Want to at a family function, not to go out with her.
That was what
Let's
she
get her drunk.
Yeah, as Minister of Police, acting Minister of Police over the last few days, that's all she did. What did she do? Can anyone tell me one thing she did as acting Minister of Police while Fikile was away? I mean, it's not like Fikile is the highest standard of minister to aspire to.
Well, it depends. Did Fikile Mbalula leave her a list, like a to-do list?
I don't think so.
That we're not aware of.
I don't think they have anything to do, these ministers. They're constantly mouthing off about like the ANC succession debate. They're not talking about their portfolios. Some of them are, but most of them are not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, here's Figile saying, you know, he's going to meet with airport security and the rest of them. There is also the issue of all the heists that happen at OR Tambo International Airport.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, the airport has been in the headlines for a number of contentious reasons, including a robbery of 20.7 million rand worth of banknotes from Standard Bank at the airport.
Wow.
It was executed by men who were dressed as police officers, of course. And, hijackings, robberies, you name it. Our airport is apparently problematic. So now the minister says that he's going to focus his attention on how to deal with it.
It's just not a good place for this kind of thing to be happening. It's, you know, ports of entry, blah, blah, blah.
I should have just taken the banknotes and took them to that thing where you give them $50 and they wrap it in cellophane.
Yes.
It would have been fine.
Yeah, of course.
But where do you take these notes after you've stolen them? I mean, I don't know much about money laundering.
No.
So you've just stolen 20 rands worth of notes. Where do you take them?
20 million rand, yeah.
Where do you go?
I don't know.
You can bring them to my house.
Gladly.
I'll be happy to exchange them for some dog food.
Yeah, exactly. I'll sing you a song.
That's how you launder them. Then you can trade the dog food.
But you put them through businesses where you can't prove the cash flow into the business. So like a good example is the expression money laundering comes from the fact that if you run a laundromat, you can put as much expenses down for detergents and all of that kind of thing and operational costs and whatever and just claim that you're making a huge loss. People pay cash. So anytime you get paid cash, you don't put it through the books. So actually you're turning 100,000 rand a month, but you say you're turning 20,000 rand a month and your operational costs are 30,000 rand a month. They can't say, oh, well, you use this much detergent, you use that much water, you must have made more money. You could just be like, well, we're not very efficient. So you can put money through those businesses.
Mm.
And then if you want to declare that money and say, okay, we did make this money and we've got to pay some tax on it, then that money can go legally into your bank account. You pay the tax and then it's now legal money. And that's not a suggestion that anyone tries to do that. But this is also the reason why no tattoo artist in history has ever made a profit. Because
they don't have to show income.
They let one in four customers swipe their card and they give you a receipt, and the other three they take your cash and they put it in their pocket. And so they always run at a small loss.
Oh.
Despite the fact that some of them are rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, I didn't know that.
Huh.
Are any of our banknotes marked, or is that just like a Hollywood movie thing?
Well, all of them have a number.
Mm-hmm.
So technically they can track down any banknote. Technically. It's a little bit difficult because there are gazillions of them running around. But technically you can. Often what they do in these heist situations, especially when they're transporting cash, they put ink in there and it explodes if there's any tampering with the bag. And then you have money that's marked. I found a 10 rand note once that it was like purple on half of it.
I've had one of those.
So I realized it must have been
part of
introduced back into circulation by criminals.
Oh. Yeah.
So they put like a device that you need like a special key or whatever to open, and if you open it without that, like Gareth
says, it explodes.
There's like a bunch of ink in there that like stains the money. But like I've also received a stained note and then spent it.
Oh yeah, and it wasn't a problem. Nobody asked you. Nobody
rejects it.
Oh.
Well, in my case it wasn't, no.
You know, you get these quotes. People put up these inspirational quotes on social media, which drive me insane. And most of them, they always have a picture of a sunset or someone walking on a beach or a horse or a, you know, something.
Contrived and not profound.
And they're so lame. And there are people who make it their mission. Now, don't get me wrong. There are really inspirational things in the world. And there's some stuff that makes everybody emotional, and that's great. But these churned out, very obviously, I'm virtue signaling, I'm trying to be cool, I'm trying to be interesting, I'm trying to sound like I know stuff, but I'm actually like an Instagram model.
God never makes a lock without a key, Gareth.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
what a pile of shit. So someone wrote this, a guy called Charles Bukowski, obviously who's a writer. He said, people run from rain but sit in bathtubs full of water. Yeah. It's an interesting point. So someone replies, Wow, Bukowski, so profound. You also bath fully clothed, you dickhead.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Isn't it funny that a person will eat when they're hungry but will duck if you throw an apple at their face?
Yeah, because I use a catapult to feed myself. Dude, have you drawled Inspirobot?
Yes, it's great.
It is the most fun you can have with your pants on. It's a it's a robot AI, artificial intelligence thingy that automatically generates motivational memes.
Yeah, okay.
But some of the stuff is profoundly insightful and some of it is terrifying.
It's amazing. And there are some really, really
funny. Inspirobot. Check it out.
So here's one, for example. Your thoughts are just failures making fun of you.
That's purely generated by a computer mind. Right.
Those who have the ability to celebrate flatulence have the ability to profit on solitude.
What?
It doesn't even make
Where
sense.
Does it even
it's the kind
all
of stuff that someone who has 300 followers on Instagram and thinks that they look good in photos will put up to try and make everybody else excited about them.
Me.
Levitation is hard work until you sell your soul.
What?
Yeah. If we can't celebrate wealth, if we can't elevate wealth, we can't californicate the Macarena.
A lot of crap. And the pictures, dude. You can't see the pictures, but it fires. Yeah.
Save time. Love tits.
Okay, that one. Yeah. No, that one I agree with.
This is the best time saver ever, dude.
It's the best.
That's so good.
I see someone just sent me the picture of Batabile Dlamini standing in her Converses with her jeans and a shirt, and she's like posing, but she's clearly very drunk.
She's in a good time. Yes,
that was the picture that very quickly inspired the Batabile Dlamini challenge. So then everyone took to Twitter posing exactly like her with their coats hanging off their shoulder. And
isn't it great that that's what she's well known for? Here she is, the Minister of Social Development in a country where we have 17 million people on welfare, and what she's known for is the Batabile Dlamini ass challenge.
Dishi's being social. I mean, she's taking it pretty literally.
That's true.
Hitting Twitter with selfies and that.
Exactly right. All right. There's a Sia who's been messaging us. In fact, I think Sia sent me the Batabile pictures. He says, no traffic on the highway. The brats are on holiday. Is it school holidays now?
I don't know about private school kids.
Okay, they are.
But the government school kids are on holiday.
Yeah, until like the 24th.
Sia says he references Cliff Central anywhere and everywhere. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your support and keep doing that, please. We need to bring more people into the fold, convert those heathens, and bring them in. Movie What the Health is a steaming pile of shit, says someone here. Click on the link I sent you. It's just ridiculous. That's from Liesl. She says it's a nonsense. Don't even bother with that movie.
Oh, wow.
Pseudoscience or what's the story? Because that's such a fine line that they tread, and you can never be sure what's garbage and what's actually medically researched.
Yeah, it's very hard to tell. Nutrition has got to be one of the most controversial areas because it seems that a lot of people get by on opinion.
Mm. And there's a refute argument for any statement that gets made. There's a scientific study that says this,
because
and then there's two that say that's wrong.
We all have different biology, right? So some people are really good at processing fats or sugars or whatever. Other people are really not. And there is a difference. That's why even for an ass like me who says eat less and run more when I see fat people, there is obviously biological difference between certain people inherit certain genetic predispositions to either weight gain or weight loss or the ability to process carbohydrates or protein or whatever it might be. And that affects things. So everybody's different. So there isn't a universal rule for food. And that's why you crave stuff.
I read a book called Why We Get Fat and What to Do About It, which was like a scientifically researched thing and just displayed. Sorry, I read a book called Why We Get Fat and What to Do About It. And it was like it spoke about conflicting research. So this is a study that says that. But one of the statements that stuck with me about that book was that as humans, we know more about what to do with certainty to get to Mars then we know for sure, quote unquote, about how food works.
Right. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
We know. Considering the one is immediate and a clear and present danger.
And something we probably should have been looking at for hundreds, if not thousands of years on a scientific level.
The other one's totally a luxury. We don't need to go to Mars.
No, we totally do.
But also there's so much misguided habits that we probably have to unlearn. You know, everything from breakfast is the most important meal of the day to food combinations, to food portions, to how many times a day I should really be eating. Like
2 seconds ago, they say 6 small meals. Today, they say something
so
else.
Much
now,
stuff.
Fasting's good for you. Now it's not good for you.
Yeah, detoxing is a complete waste of time. And then other times, it's good for you. Like, there's just a lot, actually.
All right, I've got a couple of emails we'll get to just now, but there's more news. Let's see what else is going on.
Well, I did mention this earlier, and yes, new evidence does indeed show that tennis star Venus Williams lawfully entered a Florida intersection just seconds before a fatal crash involving her SUV. Initially, when Ben reported the story, the headlines were kind of saying that she was at fault.
Yeah.
But now, upon, you know, looking at the evidence again, they seem to be changing their tune. So, the Palm Beach Gardens police said that surveillance video was obtained from the guard gate of a residential community near the intersection after authorities started investigating the collision, which took place on the 9th of June. It injured 78-year-old Jerome Barson. He later died of his injuries, and his wife was badly injured because she was in the car with him. So yeah, I suppose, you know, now new evidence just going to show that no, actually Venus wasn't breaking any laws.
You know, people were talking about how members of the British press brought this up at a press conference the other day, and she started crying. And you can now understand why. Like, she didn't do anything wrong, and they're insinuating like you've killed a person, which is not a small thing to say to someone.
And it's a lot to live with, even if you're not in the public eye and you're involved in an accident that kills someone and you did nothing wrong. Yeah. It's traumatic as hell.
You think I might have killed someone, it puts
you... I was in some way involved. Yeah.
So it has been determined that the vehicle that Venus was driving lawfully entered the intersection on a circular green traffic signal. Mm-hmm. It attempted to travel north through the intersection. Williams came to a stop as she traveled through the intersection to avoid a collision when a car going in the opposite direction made a left turn in front of her. She then continued before another car collided with her vehicle.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, look, this probably won't ease her much. You know, at the end of the day, she feels responsible for the fact that somebody died. So even though, you know, now the investigation saying, yeah, but you didn't break any laws, that probably won't make her feel a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, someone still lost their life.
Because if you weren't like a celebrity being scrutinized everything that you do, the majority of people, I would think, if you were involved in an accident, not your fault, somebody died, would be really sympathetic towards you. But as soon as you famous or whatever, you got the whole world saying, oh, look, you know, was it your fault? It was your fault. You know, like trying to sensationalize it. And that's really unfair because, you know, if you're not directly responsible, being involved in something where somebody dies is like a horrible thing.
I imagine.
Well,
yeah.
I would think anyone over a certain pay grade in the world should just not ever drive, because if you think about how much can go wrong on the roads, it seems like a logical thing to mitigate problems. Like, for example, you shouldn't go to Hillbrow after 2 a.m. over a weekend.
Well, I think after 10 p.m. But yeah,
let's say after 10. The point is, it's not because you're not allowed to. It's just not the wisest decision. I think if I had Venus and Serena money, I think I'd always have someone driving me around.
Totally.
You just hire a driver. First of all, you're creating employment. You give someone who's responsible and who's always going to be sober and is there at your beck and call. That's their job. Their full-time job is when you need to be out of the house, they drive you around.
Yeah.
Let them look after you. Therefore, if you ever are in a situation like this, you don't have to be in the press for this. It's your driver who was entering the intersection. This whole thing happened. And then it's not about Venus is so irresponsible.
And if you are at that pay grade, like, you know, money that you don't know what to do with, and you like to drive, then you should make a sport of it. Now get yourself some sports cars, go take them to tracks.
And do it at the track.
Yeah.
You don't need to
hit the Nürburgring and all that cool stuff.
Listen, we don't need – the less people that are – cars are our biggest enemy. Cars are definitely – going to kill more of us than anything else.
Yeah. And do you think about how many of these celebrities have actually been involved in accidents like this, where someone loses their lives and they just become like the poster child?
It happened to Brandy.
Brandy has killed someone.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Kris Jenner was even in an accident. Luckily, no one died there. But guys, this is why I say, if I ever get money, my assistant will have an assistant. I ain't touching anything plebbish.
You don't need to drive. I know a couple, married couple. They like to drink, And what they would do, they used to go out with Batabile Dlamini.
Oh. Oh.
What they would do is they had a permanent driver. That was his whole job.
Mm.
So if they didn't need him for a whole week, he didn't have to work, but he got paid anyway. And if they needed him over a weekend, like 24/7, he was there. That was his job.
Yeah.
And he would sleep in the car while they were busy doing their thing, and then he'd be waiting outside so he could take them home. Or these days, you got a number of services that you call up. You've got Ubers, you got that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Use them. I don't drive anywhere. I think I might get a drink.
I got gunned by Uber last weekend.
I'm sorry, you
gunned?
Got what?
What does that mean?
It's an expression. It's an expression that hails from PE that I learned from the old editor of the magazine I used to work with. You know, in marbles.
Gunned.
In marbles, you get a gun.
Yeah, it's the big one.
You throw it and it guns the other.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, gunning is a euphemism for sex.
Okay.
So I got gunned by Uber because I wanted to Uber to a Jewel in town from where I stay near Bryanston. And it was 300 rand, the estimate, yes. 303 rand. And I'm like, yes, see, okay, that's expensive. It's going to be 303 rand there and 303 rand back. It's a big investment in a Jewel, but it is going to get large. And I've got a friend with me who's coming, so worthwhile, I will accept it. So then when I got there, I had like a massive party and it was time to come home. Now 50% surcharge, 450 rand to get back from town to Douglasdale. And that was 706 rand all told, the cost for me to go to and from this Jewel. You can fly to and from Durban for that.
That's true. But what did you spend on beers?
Probably the same.
Yeah.
But the difference between a 700 rand booze investment and a 1,500 rand Jewel to town in the same province you live in, like I was now, you can decide not to go out, but once you're out, you can't decide not to come back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. You're basically trapped. They got you by the short and curlies. There's nothing you can do.
And now you know about gunning.
Okay. Thanks for that.
You know, so many terms
by the way,
morning alone.
If you're wondering why Gord is hanging with us, first of all, he has nothing to do. And second of all, Ben is not here this morning. So we thought we'll get a substitute player onto the field for today's match. Hmm. And there's no one better. So we thought, you know, this is a guy to hang around with this morning.
Thanks.
If you're wondering where the voice came from. So that's Gordon. Ben is away on a family holiday. So unfortunately, if you are after some sport, you're going to get probably a little disappointed.
Well, there is Manchester United's acquisition of Romelu Lukaku from underneath the noses of Chelsea, which has been a highlight of my weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That may as well have been
Romelu Lukaku.
Where's he from?
He's Belgian.
Oh.
And he's a beast of note. He was the second top scorer in the Premier League last season after Harry Kane.
Uh-huh.
Played for Everton. The estimates are ranging between 75 million and 90 million pounds to buy his services for, I think, 5 years. And that was a big coup. And then
take it back. If you wanted support, there you go.
Also, yeah. Wayne Rooney has left Manchester United and returned to his boyhood club, Everton, where he will play out the rest of his serious career.
But how old is Wayne Rooney?
31.
Only 31?
Yeah, well, he burst onto the scene when he was 16.
So in soccer years, though, how old is Wayne Rooney?
1,000.
No, it's difficult to say, right? Because some players, like Michael Carrick, stay good and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, prior to his injury at the end of the season, stay very competitive into their 30s, into their mid-30s. But Rooney is a high-intensity forward player, belting it on the pitch all the time. He plays at a high pace and has been doing it at the top level since 16. So he didn't make it into the top flight, most aggressive leagues in the world when he was 21, 22, and he doesn't spend a lot of his time walking around the midfield. So he's like a car that you've been revving at 7,000 revs for its whole life, driving it in second.
So in other words, we should really stop giving him shit because he's really good.
But he also digs the pies. And like, you know, as a fat bastard, I have to sympathize with people who dig the pies. But if you are being paid 300,000 British pounds a week to do a sport, you do not get to ever eat a pie. You can have on your birthday a pie and on Christmas a pie. Other than that, you're salting apples with Gareth.
Yeah.
And eating steamed sadness 6 times a day while you run. You eat it while you're running.
That is the pay for all that money that you make. Jeez,
but on the other side, you could argue that you're England's all-time top scorer, Manchester United all-time top scorer, and you have a bloody pie if you want one. politics is a thing in my life.
You decide which side of that argument you're on. All right, what else is going on?
Has anybody heard about activated charcoal? Because apparently it's a thing.
Excuse me.
People eat it.
Yes.
What?
That's exactly that.
And you use it in fish tanks to keep the water pure.
Yeah. Activated charcoal has apparently long been used medicinally to treat all sorts of things, like flatulence. Huh? Yeah. And upset tummies. Mm. I know that when they're trying to, like, for example, if somebody overdoses on pills and they want to pump your stomach, I know that they feed them charcoal. Mm. Because then what that does is it absorbs all the...
absorbent,
yeah. And then they'll vomit it out again. So medicinally, charcoal has been used for a lot of things. But I suppose foodies and chefs are looking for the next trend, and activated charcoal, or rather adding activated charcoal to one's food, seems to be the next trend. It's how you get those burgers with the black buns.
Mm-mm. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. People also have activated charcoal drinks. I mean, can you imagine putting that through your stomach?
It's like a black sauce.
It's like drinking tar,
like
essentially.
A glass like of imagine, Marmite.
Yeah, imagine the color of tar. Put it in a glass and drink
of
it.
Marmite.
But this is only going to have bad results. I mean, because, but I mean, look, my lady.
Do you poo black slime after that? What comes out of you at the other end if you've been ingesting huge amounts of activated charcoal? Oh.
I have no idea, but this seems to be the next trend that foodies want to go big, is you ordering just plates of black and drinking glasses of black.
My lady is like a huge contradiction in the sense that she's a PhD in neuroscience, but also believes in mediums and the star signs and all kinds of pseudoscientific shit.
Nobody's a one-page story.
Sure, but she understands of science. Now, I'm no Scientologist, but I know that carbon is always been associated with cancer. They say don't eat burnt food, because when it carbonizes, when it goes black and burnt, that shit gives you cancer. So now, don't be eating coal. Like, it doesn't. If a red flag comes up in my non-scientist brain.
All right, but science will also tell you that coal is fairly benign. There's not a lot going on. It's just pure carbon. And pure carbon is the constituent element of almost all the chemicals in your body, and certainly all the organic ones.
My layman's understanding has always been that when it's black, it's bad, and in terms of food, of course. but yeah, if it's like, because coal is like burnt, right? Isn't it already pre-burnt substance?
No.
Here's my ignorance being debunked. Thank
because,
you.
Because, listen, effectively, At an atomic level, there is no difference between a lump of charcoal and a diamond. It's just how those carbon atoms are arranged. That's all. So you're eating diamond. Graphite in a pencil is just carbon.
But a diamond will go through you without getting absorbed into your system. The coal will break down.
That's
okay,
true.
Again, I'm only speculating here. But I do know that it works well in fish tanks. You have to change it every month or so. You put activated charcoal in your fish tank in a little section that keeps it where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it absorbs impurities and things from the water. And then eventually it reaches its capacity. You chuck it out, you put new stuff in.
Well, maybe you eat the stuff. I don't know. This is the first time I've heard of it. But maybe you eat the stuff, it absorbs all the bad stuff, and then it just falls out of the other end of you.
Well, I mean, that's what the people here are saying.
You're just sitting there on the loo and go blink.
No.
And there's a big lump of activated charcoal with all the rubbish in it.
And yeah, I think it's the term activated that makes it seem like it'll be steaming.
No, but I want to know what they actually mean by the word activated charcoal. I genuinely want to know what they did. I want to know.
It is used in gas purification, decaffeination, gold purification, metal extraction, water purification, medicine, sewage treatment, air filters and gas masks and respirators, filters and compressed air, and many other applications.
Now, how in the same sentence as like sewage am I made meant to take comfort in the fact that this is going into my body as well?
They give it to you pre-sewage.
See, the people who are praising this activated charcoal thing say that apparently you can use it as a detoxing process. It detoxes us, is what they're alleging.
And look, I've already found South African stores that sell it. They're like, you know, charcoal shots.
It also comes in like little pellets. So you
I'm not sure I like this.
Yeah.
Also, what does it taste like is what I want to know.
You don't chew. I think you just...
What I'm saying is adding activated charcoal to your drink. What is that going to taste like?
Is that the next thing? You like season with some salt, pepper, and charcoal?
Okay, so drinking with ministers, one of the first things we have to try is activated charcoal shots.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, it helps with hangovers, says Treshka. It comes in capsules. It's a natural detox. Eating steamed sadness 6 times a day is the funniest thing I've ever heard. That's from Karen. And then lots of other people with messages about activated carbon. Clearly people are doing this. It draws out the bad stuff magically, says somebody.
Okay. That explains everything.
Anushka says she uses activated charcoal on her face, and once a week she brushes her teeth with it. Ooh. I'm not ready to ingest yet, but it definitely gives you a brighter smile and smaller pores.
Yeah, I'm fine with not ingesting it. Taking it in, yeah, that's asking for a problem in my books.
As soon as they mention helps with hangovers, I'm immediately more open to experimentation.
That's the ticket for you.
Well, I'll try anything, God.
All right, well, there we go. Activated charcoal.
Well, so this happened on Friday, but finally the family of the 17-year-old who was raped by her cousin, Kwaito star Si Phondlovu, a.k.a. Bricks, celebrated his conviction and saying that it took 3 painful years for justice to be delivered. Do we maybe remember the story all the way back from 2013?
No, fill me in, I've forgotten.
Yes, when...
What happened?
Bricks was convicted of rape, but finally, because... came to be on Friday that he was found guilty of rape. He raped his relative back in November of 2013 at his home in Reimsich. This is quite bizarre, the mere fact that it's incestuous as well. But the family said that they had previously given him a chance to come and ask for forgiveness from the family and the victim, but Brick showed no remorse, telling him that he would not apologize for what he did. But it was actually thanks to Brick's wife, Nobile, who actually put him forward, took him to task, calling the police as well, and so justice was finally served. Bricks was
sounds
previously...
Sounds like a horrible human being. I mean, he wouldn't even apologize.
Yeah, to his family.
You rape someone in your family.
How yes. is that right in the
and
first
then when
place?
The first thing you do is you start apologizing.
Right. And they give you the opportunity to not go to jail if you just like come and internally make amends, which I still think is bullshit. You should go to jail.
Yeah.
But they say you have the choice. Now you decide, I'd rather go through the litigation process or the prosecution process than apologize.
Ass. Yeah, right. Yeah. Crazy.
Well, he obviously failed to convince the courts that he did not commit the crime. His bail was set on 50,000 rands, rather, but was immediately revoked as he was led down to the holding cells, where he will remain in custody until sentencing on the 20th of July.
I got this email from Alexis. Hey guys, thanks for the awesome show. Keeps me entertained in my daily commute from Abu Dhabi to Dubai. We'll be sure to pass by with a bottle of Cuervo at 6 a.m. when I'm back in South Africa. Well, please don't bring it at 6 a.m. That sounds like it would be a very bad idea.
You don't
idea.
Necessarily have to drink it at 6 a.m.
You are so right, we're not going to. And then this is from Christian, adding my 5 cents to what you guys were talking about the other day, delayed flights at SAA. I thought I'd add my 5 cents. I recently booked 2 economy class tickets from London to Johannesburg using British Airways. It cost me 22,500 rand. The cheapest quote I got from SAA was 34,500 rand. So they charge more and they still can't turn a profit. What a bunch of idiots. That's from Christian. I'm afraid that's true. There we go, SAA. No endorsements from anybody. And then this one from Wendell. After hearing you guys talk about your trip to Amsterdam, or Gareth, yours, I started looking at some of our well-rated series. I came across one in Holland called Overspel, which means betrayal in English.
Oh.
It's a simple but good story, and the characters and their transformations are really intriguing. It'd be such a good series for our local TV if SABC were ever interested in giving the viewers a quality local series instead of pumping out large quantities of crap. It doesn't need any expensive sets. Surely they have people researching potential shows at the SABC. If they ever get out of their hole of debt, maybe they'll get some decent content so that people will watch it. I am a fan of good TV series. I agree with Ben mostly and have similar taste in TV shows, except when he talks about Downton Abbey. Yeah, that's Ben's got some kind of thing for those old people in those series. I just haven't been able to get into that. I think I need to get down and watch 2 episodes to give it a fair chance. But here are some other shows. Don't know if you've ever heard of these. Underbelly from Australia. Anybody?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Rake from Australia. Anybody?
Nah, mate.
The Thick of It in the UK. Insane Writing and Insults, apparently. Veep, which is with Julia Dreyfus.
Heard of it, haven't watched it.
And also some good news. Looks like Rick and Morty is starting 30th of July. Game of Thrones coming 16 July. Have a good one, Wendell. Thank you, Wendell.
Are you guys 10, 11, already 12, like...
14, 15, 16. Oh, so this Sunday.
Countdown. Yeah.
Game of Thrones.
It's trepidation mixed with excitement, man. As soon as they cut off that dude's willy, I was like, the show's too hectic. And then you're so invested that you just must know what happens. But at the same time, you don't want to see it. It's like, it's horrible. It's,
Did he survive?
It's punishment.
Listen, yes, man. Barely.
Without a pinache.
Reek.
I think it was two weekends ago when they were doing a binge fest to prepare us for the new season.
Mm.
So I watched season six all over again just to remind myself. And I mean, again, they
you,
said...
You started off, you weren't that into it.
No, look, I started watching season six and then I fell off and then I just never caught up.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw this binge fest, I was so excited because like, yeah, okay, now I can do this properly. But I mean, the... That scene where that horrible guy that
there are a lot of horrible people in that
Lord
show.
Ramsay
with the one with the dogs.
Yes, yeah. No, feeding people to his dogs.
Where right at the end, Jon Snow beats him into a pulp, and then they tie him up in the cage where he keeps the dogs.
Revenge.
And then the dogs come out, and they haven't been fed over like 7 days.
Dude, he fed a woman and her baby.
Yes,
with the dogs.
Yes,
so good the dogs ate him.
What a horrible person.
It's a horrible what show.
I was about to say.
It's terrible, but you have to know.
So, what's going to happen? Because I've seen these trailers, okay? I don't know, because none of us know, so there's no spoilers here. Don't get on my case. What could happen?
Oh, bad things,
what
just in general.
What can two must possibly happen? Like, okay, we know that these, for how many seasons now, these White Walkers have been coming south.
Mm.
It's taken them a hell of a long time.
Mm. I think Arya Stark, recently with her vision restored and freed of that temple where she had to do penitence and learn how to change faces and
stuff. She's coming back.
She's
to
coming
kick ass.
To kick the shit out of lots of people.
Okay.
I think that also there's something about the dragons making dragon glass being the weapon that can kill the White Walkers. They're going to figure that out because the well-meaning fat guy that is only courageous to protect his girlfriend, he has killed a White Walker with a piece of dragon glass. So they're going to figure that out. They're going to unite, use dragons to make lots of dragon glass, make weapons, and suddenly have a hope in hell with this battle. Plus, there's those people who get resurrected from the dead, and we saw little bits and pieces of them, and then they kind of went away. The guys, they're like, literally, the guy was like, it's the seventh time he's been brought back from the dead.
By that red woman.
Yes, they're like the fire cult people, and they were like,
by the way, if you don't know what, if you have no idea what we're talking about right now, you need to get on board.
No, well, as the guy, I still enjoy this. As a guy who couldn't even make it through the first episode of the first season, it sounds like you guys are talking a whole new, different language.
All right.
White Walkers and penises cut off and.
Okay, but here's my question. They're not all going to suddenly unite. There has to be just one standing at the end of the day, or am I wrong?
I also have the feeling like there has to be a winner.
Like it's
the Khaleesi.
It's got to be either Jon Snow or the Khaleesi
Because good things don't happen in Game of Thrones. They set you up to love somebody and then they take them away from you, and that's how the show works. But George R. R. Martin did say in one thing when they said to him, like, look, dude, like you do this intentionally just to upset people. You're really a dickhead, and you create things people love just to kill them. And he says everyone that gets what's coming to them gets what's coming to them. Like
so Cersei's got something horrible going to happen to her.
Everybody, like what's his name, the one that the Red Wedding, the one that married the wrong girl, he was like winning the war.
Ned's son,
Rob Stark.
Broke his vow to marry the woman he made an agreement to marry. So George Martin just said basically, like, even if you love a character and you think they're fundamentally good, they get what's coming to them because of something they've done. So, like, for example, the awesome short man, I forget everybody's name.
Tyrion.
He's crossbowed his dad. So, that is going to come get him, even though the dad deserved it.
Yes.
You don't crossbow your dad, especially not on the shitter. So, you know, like, challenge him to a crossbow duel, maybe. But, like, if I...
This is not normal.
See his face because he hasn't watched the show, so he can't believe these horrible things. So
why would you do that to your dad?
Because he falsely accused you of murder. And you married
the wrong person.
He falsely accused you of murder and then, so that you and you're a dwarf and he hates you.
But didn't his father try and have him killed at some point
exactly
in his life?
Exactly why he crossbowed his dad.
Well, you see, I mean, if your father's trying to get you killed, you need to get to
him
first.
Has successfully had you falsely prosecuted of murder, and you are on death row as a result of your dad not digging you at all. But have you seen the video of the cats doing the Game of Thrones soundtrack? Immediately, Gareth, it's the Google machine.
We need to upload that.
It will change
your entire
life.
I'm guessing here they are meowing.
They meow the tune,
okay.
And it is immensely satisfying.
All right, here it is. Game of Thrones opening sung by a cat.
I swear.
No, give it a chance.
All right, enough. I can't.
Y'all need help. I'm telling you, y'all need help. Can you guys need heartwarming television? Has anyone probably watched This Is Us?
No.
This Is Us, yes.
Thank you.
I'm watching that.
What is that?
Okay, cool.
It's a tearjerker of a series. So it revolves around these three siblings who... It's so complicated. Yeah, three siblings living now, following their parents' story, you know, when they were born. So it's like these comparisons, and it's what.
There's one very obese woman in it.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So there's like the actor brother,
like
the obese woman.
She's got her dad's ashes on the fireplace. She watches the football match. And
that's
blah, blah,
blah. A spoiler alert for people who haven't watched. And then there's a black, you know, the black brother as well.
I like this show. It looks pretty.
Yeah, a couple went into the hospital to give birth to triplets. They lost one on the same day. A fireman had found this abandoned black baby, ended up in the same hospital, and then the couple decide that they're going to adopt the black baby with the twins, the remaining twins.
And then this is their story.
And then this is their story. And then now the black child who was adopted is an adult. He's found his father, his biological father. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
heartwarming. That's all it is. There isn't any Game of Thrones.
It's just life stories being told,
twist.
Essentially. Yeah. Like,
So I, having moved back to Joburg quite recently and then moved into a new place, they install fiber, the fiber line.
Yes.
And I like applied for it. But they put it in. It's not being activated until the whole complex has got it. I'm waiting to have internet. In the meanwhile, I'm using my phone at home, and it's like it's enough to work and whatever, but you can't be streaming content.
Mm. Hell no.
So because, you know, massively exploitative data, cell phone networks of hell.
Right.
But I'm waiting until I've got
of hell.
I'm waiting until I've got broadband, and at the moment I can't stream anything, and I'm just dreaming about Netflix and Showmax in my life. But at the moment I'm watching shit off hard drive that I'm trying to get from homies, allegedly because that would be illegal and I'd never do anything like that. But hypothetically, I'm watching things. If I was trying to watch content, it would be off hard drives, and I would be getting what I could get from friends.
Yeah.
So I've watched stuff that you wouldn't otherwise. Maybe I started watching a thing called Shannara Chronicles. It's like elves
about?
And no, it's like Lord of the Rings for Americans. The protagonist is called Amberlee, which was enough to make me not want to watch it, but I had nothing else. It's really quite addictive. Like, you know, the goblins, demons, all that kind of thing. And then there's another thing called The Expanse, which is very cool. It's sci-fi. Like, the solar system's been colonized. The Martians have split for them. The Martian colonists have split from Earth. Then there's people who have colonized the asteroid belt, and they mine it, but they're not very gravity tolerant. And like, it's really very
the
cool.
Expanse.
So when you're digging in the depths, if you're one of those people that's watched everything, or like, you know, they're sort of obscure, but Shannara Chronicles is worthwhile, and The Expanse is really cool. Sci-fi, very cool.
I like that.
Yeah, very cool.
All right.
There's still hope. You aren't just watching people get killed.
I don't
while
like
they're
watching
in the
Game of
loop.
Thrones. So yeah, it's not voluntary.
But this is the last season, right?
No, apparently there's two more.
What?
Well, I could be wrong, but
I thought this was it.
I think there's at least one more after this one, and this one isn't going to be the standard 10 episodes. I think it's only 6 or 7.
No, guys, this is the last one.
No.
Come on.
Wasn't it? And they were already talking about spin-offs. I thought.
Oh yeah, then we're gonna deal with the spin-offs.
But Vikings is coming back soon.
That's
I
good.
Love
That's
Vikings.
A great show. Ragnar Lothbrok.
Yes. And wow. It sticks quite closely to the actual myth. Mm. And the reason that it's a
I'm glad you said myth and not history.
No, of course, because like it's got religion and all of that stuff in it. But it sticks very closely to the folktale as taught to people in Scandinavia. And also the reason that it's a History Channel co-sponsored thing, despite obviously being dramatized, I mean, they don't know what the dialogue was between the King of France and the Viking invader. Mm-hmm. But the details, the set costumes, the makeup on their faces, the weapons, the cultural traditions, that kind of stuff is
all real.
Is historically accurate. So you can know what the stuff would have looked like back then and how women also could fight and, you know, very cool.
That was one of the few civilizations.
Gayness was completely acceptable in all of that.
It was one of the few civilizations where women really did have an equal role to play to men. And women were able to be jarls, earls, and run whole villages and communities
and go in
provinces and the women were fearsome
fully fearsome
Viking women with their pointy bras and stuff.
They didn't have that. That's the Bugs Bunny cartoon.
All right, but
sorry,
still.
I just went straight to Madonna. Do you remember
too,
Madonna
the
wearing
cone
the
bra,
yes?
That's my
IMDb
reference.
Says there will be a season 8 of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
So this is not the last one yet.
You know what? There'll be as many seasons as they can make money out of.
But it's diverged. The books have diverged from the TV show. I mean, I don't know if you guys have touched on this before, but George Martin is executive producing and kind of overseeing the writing of the TV show. But last season, the official divergence where, because he hasn't finished writing the books yet. Yeah. It hasn't finished yet. The books will go in a different direction because of the amount of detail and stuff that's not able to be portrayed and the subplots that you can't get everything into the TV shows. Officially, the storylines diverged a season ago. Hmm. And maybe it's like some serious Game of Thrones nerds will correct me, and it was the previous season. But yeah, they have officially not going in the same direction, the books and the TV show.
See, but I don't even have to watch Game of Thrones to predict what's going to happen, simply because this is a Hollywood 101 thing. You've seen it with Harry Potter. You've seen it with Lord of the Rings. You've seen it with Star Wars. They're going to do some sort of a prequel. They're going to do some sort of several spin-offs. They're going to do a backstory to this protagonist. Ugh. They'll still carry on making money.
I think it'll end like I've gone drawn complete blank. The mafia thing, the brilliant mafia.
The Sopranos.
It'll end like The Sopranos. Or it'll end like Lost and make everybody regret every second they've invested in watching a pile of garbage.
Well, here are some people already angry. Anushka says, I was done with Game of Thrones when Sansa started dating a Jonas brother. Rusty says, on Game of Thrones, regarding people deserving death, why did that little girl get burnt at the stake? What the hell did she ever do? Forget doing her homework?
Oh. A good point. George R.R. Martin's a dick.
Mubs is right. There are two shorter series of Game of Thrones, 7 episodes each. Love GOT, Vikings, and Suits coming back in a few days' time. All right. I don't know about that. I fell off that wagon a long time
ago. I got halfway through season 3, and I was like, okay.
The coming season of Game of Thrones will be the second last season, according to someone here. Morning, guys. House of Cards, House of Cards, House of Cards. Love it. I think John and the Khaleesi will unite and conquer, says Sam. Khaleesi and Jon Snow are half-brother and sister. At the end of season 6, Jon's mother reveals Jon is not a bastard, but the Mad King's son. And why don't you guys, Pabalo says, start a death pool for the new season of Game of Thrones.
That is such a good idea.
All right.
Okay.
That is, and you got to draw it randomly like you do World Cup.
All right. We're going to have to do this.
Some people are obviously going to get it.
We're going to have to do this properly, so give us time and then we'll have
We'll do it today and then we'll have that tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll start the official Game of Thrones death pool tomorrow. All right. Anything else you want to throw in quickly, Mubs? And then we get to our guest in a while.
No.
We're done?
We're done. See ya.
On the way. We're going to meet Fetiswa and speak to her about all the things that she's up to. There's a lot of exciting stuff going on there. And take your thoughts, your calls, your WhatsApps, 079-748-2090 on the WhatsApp. And everything else, you can get hold of us, Cliff Central, Skype, one word, and on WeChat. So make sure you use all of those to get your message to us this morning. This is not a one-way conversation. We need to know what you're interested in, what you care about this morning. And you know how to get hold of us. So everything's easy once you figure that out. It's 8 o'clock.
This is CliffCentral.com.